word. It's a very short word. It's just one single syllable and three very short letters. And it's this word, why. But you know, this single word is actually quite an explosive word. It's a word that will push us toward wisdom. It's a word that pushes us and forces us to go toward breakthroughs, and it summons us to seek answers. It's this word that has inspired sailors to cross over seas. It's this word that has inspired astronauts to strap themselves onto huge tanks of gas and throw themselves into space. And it's this word that has encouraged scientists to spend hours every single day staring into microscopes. This word every single day will dominate billions of conversations. And so this word, why, has both trivial questions. Like, for example, why is it that the British public chose to kick out Cher Lloyd from The X Factor last night? Or, how on earth, why is it that Russia got the 2018 World Cup and not the UK? But you know, this word why also has some of the most vital questions. Why am I here? Does life have any kind of reason? Or are we just clever creatures who are scrambling to try and survive and do better? The answer is to be found in another word. And it's a word that is used an awful lot at this time of year. It's the word Christmas. Now, Christmas is a great season, isn't it? We like Christmas, don't we? I love everything about Christmas. I love the turkey. I love the tinsel. I love the toys. You know, actually, just for a moment, I'm lying to you. I don't love everything about Christmas. There is one thing which I really don't like about Christmas. Two words: Brussels sprouts. Now, that's right. Now, just by way of a show of hands, who here actually likes Brussels sprouts? Now, I want you to rest assured just for a moment that I've got a special team here this evening who are going to pray for you guys after the service. So there's no need to worry. We are going to do something about it. But, you know, Christmas is such a fun season. You know, it's such a season where there's so much else going on. And, you know, there are different people who have different expectations at this time of year. I heard of a woman who thought she'd be polite and kind to her husband this year. And so she wrote a little note to him and put it onto the fridge. And it was actually a list of what she wanted for Christmas. But this particular request said this. She put on it, "For Christmas, I would like something that will make me look sexy and beautiful." So her husband went out and he bought her an exercise bike. Now, that is really going to put strain on your relationship at this time of year. I wouldn't encourage it. And I'll be honest with you, I've never been good at buying presents. I'm terrible because I always leave it until the last minute. I will kind of scramble for anything I can to wrap the things, even if it's foil or some old bits of paper. And I was thinking always and looking forward to the time I had a wife who would actually buy those Christmas presents for me. So, you know, I even remember as a child, there was a moment when I'd completely forgotten to get anything for my sister. Her name's Sarah, and on this particular morning, I thought, what am I going to do? So I scrambled upstairs and I found my piggy bank. I thought, right, that'll sort it out. And so I came down proudly and said, "Sarah, this time for Christmas, I've decided to give you everything that's in my entire piggy bank." Needless to say, she wasn't particularly impressed when there was 87 pence, a rubber band, and a stick of chewing gum. But you know, Christmas can be a busy time. It can be a costly and expensive time. It can be a lot of fun, but for many, it can also be a very lonely time or in a very pressured time. And yet we throw ourselves into this season without sometimes asking the question, why? What's it all about? What's the reason for the season? Why Christmas? But you know, if we turn it round and we put it another way, those same words can become both a question and the answer. Why Christmas? Christmas is big news. Christmas is great news. Christmas actually offers the answers to some of the biggest questions. And as we've heard tonight through these amazing readings, through the videos that we've seen, it's a story of a God who has come to the rescue. A God that has a plan from the beginning of time to come and break in and to fix you. Christmas says that we're not alone. That God who created us, he wants you to know him and he wants you to be in relationship with him. So we're going to go back and look at a couple of things that the original script of Christmas says. You know, in the original script, we hear about these people known as wise men. And they came to visit Jesus. But have you ever wondered what would have happened if they had been wise women? Shall I tell you? The women are more keen to hear that than the guys are. If they had been wise women, they would have asked for directions and arrived there on time. If they had been wise women, they would have cleaned the stable and they would have helped with the delivery of the baby. If they had been wise women, they would have brought far more practical gifts like a stroller and a casserole. But the Bible says that they were wise men, okay? But have you ever asked yourself the question, why was it these three particular gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus? They're actually very unusual to think about giving to a newborn. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's all about symbolism. What these particular gifts, these particular items, symbolize to us even now. And we see, behind the symbolism, there are profound truths. So the first one, gold. Why was Jesus given gold? Well, he was given gold because the wise men recognized that he had a kingship. That Jesus Christ is not only a king like any other, but he's also the king. The Bible calls Jesus the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Frankincense in the Bible, secondly, is a symbol of prayer and communication. And so they understood that through Jesus, God wants to communicate and to connect with us. And so their taking of the frankincense actually meant that they were trying to say, we also want to communicate with you. And then thirdly, there was myrrh. Now myrrh in the Bible represents burial and death. See, they had understood that this king had actually come to give his life for something. They had understood that Jesus' mission was to actually come into the world, not to condemn it, but Jesus had come to the world to fix the world. Now, you might shout and say, hold on a minute, Steve. Pause. That doesn't quite compute with me. Did you say Jesus came to give his life to fix me? Are you saying that I'm broken? You know, I'm not broken. But to understand why Jesus gave his life for you and for me, we need to first understand the background. Now let me ask you a question. I want to know whether you agree with this statement. There is a problem with the world today. For individuals, for societies, for groups of people, for the world, there are problems. And many people, we're doing kind of what we can to alleviate and support some of the symptoms, some of the things that we see going on around us. But the big question perhaps is, what is the root cause of these problems? You know, the Bible says it's a tiny word with massive implications. You see, God and his standards are absolute moral perfection. absolute purity, absolute goodness, and his standard is where we are measured against. You know, the Bible says that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And it would take a very bold person to say, actually, I haven't fallen short. I match up to God's standards. I am in line. I measure up to his glory. None of us are capable of that. Each of us have gone our own way, done things that we knew weren't right, and at the same time have not done things which we should have done. We've been selfish, abusive, greedy, angry, lied. You see, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. It's our hearts. Sin, our relationships are polluted by it. Our society and our communities and our world. The Bible even goes as far as saying the whole earth is groaning under the weight of sin. It's obvious to us all that this world is in need of fixing. And so we naturally do what's wrong rather than what's right. And no matter how hard I used to do things in my life, I still used to get it wrong. When I saw my sister with superb grades, getting wonderful acclamation and support, no matter how hard I tried to be positive and encourage her, there were always kind of just seeds of jealousy which would sit in me. You know, when I was growing up through my kind of teens and early 20s, it was all about the designer clothes, all about the Ralph Lauren shirts. And no matter how hard I tried, it always left me feeling with a, I want more. It's never quite satisfied me. There's this greed and dissatisfaction. And you know, no matter for me how much encouragement or praise I received from other people, I recognized that I was never satisfied in myself. Like a car with its steering wheel out of alignment, we constantly veer toward the curb. Now, furthermore, sin has consequences for us. It matters. Sin has disconnected us from this holy God that we were created to know. God didn't leave us. We left God. God didn't reject us. We rejected God. You see, this is why the world needs fixing. I'm broken. You're broken. The world is broken. Broken off from this life with God that we're all called to live in and enjoy. You know, I spent years of my life trying to measure up, comparing myself with others, simply trying to fit in and be cool. You know, I went to extraordinary lengths to do this. At university, on occasions, I even tattooed the backs of my hands so that people would get attention. The thing is, I never quite had the bottle to do it permanently, so I always just used transfers. The embarrassing thing is, of course, partway through the evening, kind of when you're dancing and doing your stuff, the transfers start to come off. So not only did it look silly in the first place, but you're quite embarrassed later. I went to further lengths, you know. There was one occasion when I brought some special contact lenses. And the contact lenses, which make you supposed to really stand out and look cool, because they were in cat's eyes, right? It's bright yellow with the black line between them, which I thought would get me loads of attention and people would love it. But I had a problem, because one of my eyes has a slight curve to it. And so whilst the black lines are supposed to like this, one of them began to twist. And so when I looked at people, I had one eye which was like a cat, and the other eye which was slightly distorted. And so instead of people thinking, looking at me and thinking I look cool, people were a little bit more, you know, I'll do the face, you know. It was all a little bit of a mess. And, you know, all of it came out of a desire for me to be loved and to be accepted and to be received by other people. You know, some people get a picture of God like an over-eager policeman who is at his happiest when he's beating other people and taking the happiness out of them, making them miserable. Do you know what? The opposite is true. The opposite is true. He's desperate for us to know him. He's desperate for us to be in relationship with him and for us to feel his love and acceptance. And through Jesus, he made it possible. Let me explain how it's possible. It's like we all have a bank account. But actually, every one of us, because of our sin, are way into our overdraft. There's nothing that we can do. We're all in this situation. And there's nobody who can pay that back. There's no one who can do that aside from someone who is in credit. Someone who has never sinned. Someone who has got that relationship and is restored in that already. Jesus Christ is the only one. Jesus came to pay your debt and to fix you. You see, the thing is, at Christmas time, we can become preoccupied with thinking about baby Jesus. We can miss the point that God did become a baby, but sometimes we leave him as a baby. And to really understand the significance, we need to look at his life as a man, how he moved from the cradle to the cross. You know, Jesus began his ministry of teaching and miracles. And immediately, he started to make some phenomenal claims. He said things like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And if anyone believes in me, he will live even if he dies. Jesus said that he came for the broken and the weary and invited people into new life, offering more than just a set of principles to live by, but he promised to empower them and guide them, be with them every single step of the way. You know, if our greatest need was for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need was for money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need was for pleasure, he would have sent us an entertainer. But God knew that our greatest need was for forgiveness, and so he sent us a savior. Jesus came into the world to fix us. You know, sometimes people will say, Christianity is for the weak. It's for the people who you know, need something to lean on. It's a crutch for the needy. You know what? I would agree with them. I have never met a person who isn't broken. I've met a few who don't say they are and don't admit it. For me, I'm just grateful for the fact that I get to lean on Jesus while he's putting me back together. On the cross, as Jesus died, in the words of the Bible, it says Jesus purchased for us forgiveness. He was cashing a check signed in blood to clear your overdraft. And in being raised to new life on Easter Sunday, all those years ago, he showed that the rescue story was complete. Now, Jesus promised much to those who followed him, but they weren't promised an easy ride. He said that their past would be forgiven, their presence would sparkle with significance. He said that their future would be assured with Jesus for eternity. Not for a moment because they're good enough, but because of what he did and the fact that he is good enough. It's a small word, but a big question. Why Christmas? It's Christmas that offers us the answer. It's the gift of Christmas that has transformed my life from a very lost, very broken 24-year-old. It's the same, and the story is true for hundreds of people right now across this room. Without Jesus at the center of my life, I'm parched. I'm like a riverbed with no water. Without him, I felt burdened, like a bellboy without a trolley. And without Jesus, I felt lost, like some traveler who hasn't got a map. I spent 25 years of my life scrambling for possessions, for approval, for significance and something of worth. Now, right here, I stand assured of my purpose, my value, and my eternal joy because of knowing this Jesus as my Savior. He is the gift of Christmas. Jesus came to fix a broken world and to find and fix broken people like me and like you. The question for you is, do you know him? Do you know this Jesus who gives us life and significance and joy and value and forgiveness? Do you know him? Because I want to stand before you this evening saying it's the best news there is. And this Christmas, I want us to appreciate that. Appreciate the significance of Christmas in the grand scale of time. And so I'm going to invite the band to come up and they're going to play a song for us. And as they do, I want us to take a moment to reflect. It could be that you've been stirred this evening. That you've thought to yourself, you know, I can connect to that. I too feel like Steve used to, spiritually bankrupt. I recognize that there is still sin in my life that I want to be free from. And I recognize that I want to know this God that you're talking about and be in connection, be in relationship with him. Now, if that's you, I want to encourage you to come down at the end of the meeting and just to talk to one of us. And I would also encourage you to look on the back of your bulletins this evening. Look at going on an Alpha course. Alpha is a fantastic opportunity for you to explore some of the claims of Christianity, some of the claims of what Jesus said. It's an eight weeks where you get the opportunity to ask questions and to hear some of these claims for yourself. It transformed my life, and my prayer is that it would transform yours. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to have this song to be able to sit back, listen, and really connect with this amazing story that we've been hearing about. Father God, we want to thank you for Jesus. We want to thank you for this amazing story of how you broke into this world on a rescue mission to seek and to save the lost. I want to thank you, Lord, that it transformed my life. And I want to pray, God, that you would transform many, many more. That people would come to know you and enjoy you as their Savior and their God. We honor you, Lord Jesus. Amen.